Okay. Now we get to Quincy Troupe, who is also a St. Louis poet who is now living in New York. And he has taught at several different universities, and he's now teaching at the College of Staten Island, where he's Associate Professor of American and Third World Literature and Director of the Poetry Center. He has edited an anthology, Watts Poets and Writers, and in 1975, Random House published Giant Talk, an anthology of third world writers. His poetry books include Embryo and Snakeback Solos, which won the American Book Award. And in 1978, he co-authored with David Wolper the inside story of TV's Roots. And his books forthcoming are, in 1983, Skulls Along the River, and On Wings of Bat Syllables, and in 1984, Ash Doors and Juju Guitars, which is a selected poems, and the novel Footman's, which is set in St. Louis. And it's really wonderful for me to welcome back Quincy Troupe, and I hope you all enjoy it. So, here he is.
I was going to read a selection from this novel, but Robin read Friction, so I'll just read poetry. These first poems are poems from a book called Skulls Along the River, and they are based in St. Louis. The first poem I'm going to read is is the title poem of that book, and it's called Skulls Along the River. It's entitled Skulls Along the River. And it's about 8 pages long, so I hope that you can bear with me. This poem is dedicated to my mother, Dorothy Marshall, and my father, and my father, Quincy Troupe Sr. The only thing I should say about the poem is that it's about the Mississippi River. Up from New Orleans, on riverboats, from the Gulf of Mexico, memory carries sweet legacy of niggerland speech, brown tongue bluesy, bluesing muddy water, underbottom spirits crawling, nightmares of shipwrecked bones, bones gone home to stone, bones gone home to stone, river bottom, underbellied spirits, bones gone home to stone, I say, bones gone home to stone, I say, skulls along the river. And the faces of these faceless bones unknown, screaming arpeggios of stitched memory in cold light. Cadences of blues, shrinking sun sprays, shrieking with every turning of black-boned arm clocks. And it is the collected face of collected memory that wears the metaphor of collected dust. The collected mathematics of lamenting calibrations, hieroglyphics cracking and peeling and curling in stone, dust storms swirling around edges, bones white as chiclet teeth in memory cloning, the images come locked in whatever, death there forever, forever locked in time, death there forever and forever locked in time. And we suffer because we must. There is no other way to find beauty. There is no other way to find love. We suffer because we must. There is no other way home to find the memory. And oh, the skeletons that have passed my cracking eyeballs, seeking true cadence within the lamenting calibrations of music. History rattling dice bones on their worn-out knees, the already dead scraping earth breath for an even deeper death, the ultimate transmissioning migration, and oh, you midnight men of peppermint moons, rooster claw soliloquies raking at vision's corner. Heroes emerging from sand-blasted history books, grant me leather flesh of your weather-worn wisdom, O blood-drenched grave diggers, anthrocytic soothsayers, O mellow prophets of crushed grapes and stomped berries. O grant me holy syllables of your blues-laced tongues, perfect eardrums. O grant me the sacred light of your blues. Grant me sacred light of your blues, doo-wopping Mac men. Grant me holy flight of your eagle-wing life. O grant me the tongue of your blues, perfect eardrums. Grant me holy flight of your eagle-wing life. O grant me the tongue of your blues, perfect eardrums. Beginning now with the formless mystery of love, informing it all, cadences, its ritualized celebration of birth as death as drama, its copacetic language of blues, inside the journey back under puzzled wings of parody, textures realized and lost and found and lost once again, the slitting definitive answer of a pearled handle razor's hissing through the dark's wailing wall, mystery, flesh wallowing in its own gluttony inside the absent breath of death. Now, here, the hieroglyphics of space and time forming, sculpting in winds from great distances. Voices, shapes down, way, way low. Voices taking on colors, turning around and taking on shape. Voices spinning and taping onto memory phono discs, changing into blurring faces, swimming, trying to breach this calligraphy of space and time and distance. Space and time and distance. Voices down, way, way low, spinning them. Themselves, memory, phono disc, voices as faces, way, way low, down, voices spinning, way, way low. Send back now the memory further back than bone. See there now the polished stones lifted and singing, singing, becoming birds that are words, their wings being the holy myths that fill up our lives with movement. Now listen to the blood-burning songs breaking through and into our river voice veins, climbing towards the plateau of the heart. Listen to the rains beating against the underbelly of those stones, marking worm-deep earth bottoms where the narcissus of flesh rests. Listen to wind tongues, drums now breaking into flames, and wind trumpet songs opening up doorways to rivers. Listen now to hearts. Listen to rhythms of stones beating hearts climbing towards the dark. Listen to rhythms, your soon-to-be calcified, worm-eaten heart. Listen now, I say, listen now to the dark. We are the dark, our dark-stitched voices climbing, memories from the heart, our secret arpeggios of spirits scaling towards the light, voices of weeping rains, teardrops hanging from history, the eyelids of that toad-squatting city by the Mississippi River, widespread arms of slippery catfish deep inside skulls of Mississippi River nights, born of savage flights, our dark hip voices stitched into fabric of those razor blade nights. Blues kneeling down, I say, blues kneeling down before that packing house city, widespread arms slippery as catfish, spirits climbing towards the cracks of moonbeam slash light. Blues kneeling down, moonbeams climbing towards cracks of slash light. Oh, sweet lovers of no faces, of all races, with desert bone dry eyes of no reception, pain knee deep in quicksand, who give sandpaper tongues of no sweetness, kisses cold as piranha teeth, eyes digging scaly reflections in dirty mirrors, cracking and fading. Become now you a confluence of rivers, blood, a confluence of musical faces, blood, swimming through sundown dusk, the sonorous magic of elliptical calibration, spinning inside memory disc, blood stitched into music, blood. Sing now of wing prints, birds climbing cadences, stitched memory. Sing now of rapture, swimming through river veins, spirit of bones bright as lightning in blood, mud deep beds of Mississippi River bottoms, where the ancestors sing now in sleep. Sing now in sleep. Sing now a bone-deep rhapsody, a memory of skulls blue steep. Sing now a stone-sculptured legacy, blues-chiseled mornings. Sing now a blues. But this road back, long gone again, long gone, back again, blues, long gone, I come back again, forward again, to this river Mississippi, to this toad-squatting city, catfish, arms widespread and slippery welcome, come back home again, to these dry-bone kisses of formaldehyde memories, eyes death-ridden as 45 bullets, come back home again, carrying my age strapped on my side like a revolver. All my young, quicksilver years running into this river, Mississippi River, snake back carrier of dreams. And home is wherever ancestors' bones are buried, knee-deep memories live as dreams. Become rib cages of miracles, built from breath as a man, built from death as a man, holding the sun between his teeth, his smile a dazzling daybreak, a blue-black blues man, sun man caught the sun between his gap teeth, sprouted wings and flew away into the music. Now his spirit holds up the sky, his smile the golden eye torching high, morning sky a snake back carrier of dreams. Mississippi, 7th or 11th to win at the game of dice, I carry snake back carry river of dreams on my back, on my back. I carry snake back river of dreams on my back, river Mississippi, where the spirits climb out of now, move beneath the arches, parabolic flight, upside down, question mark, raises edge of a stationary pendulum slashing, the blue throat of sky turning now, a skillet fried yellow now, snake back carrier of dreams, the song climbs out of itself now, shaking river weeds that turn into faces, familiar on memory disc, spinning faces, familiar as crushed coal dust, greets me here with outspread arms, filigreeing cobweb drapes, old streets where familiar buildings have been removed like abscessed teeth from the mouth of that old fisherman ghoul who used to tell me all those great stories of the heydays of St. Louis before the scars came, before the mumbles came, and he lost his peg leg teeth like those abscessed buildings before he fell into senility and was pulverized by the pendulum wrecking ball of progress that is time, which is history's consuming fire, which is death and life at the same time. But this road that has been so long gone now is here again, back again, blues long gone. I have come back to this muddy river again, to this toad squatting city of catfish arms, swipe widespread and slippery welcome. Come back home again to all my quicksilver memories running into this river, Mississippi River, snake back carrier of dreams, river Mississippi, snake back carrier of dreams. 7th or 11th I win at the game of dice, 7th or 11th I win whatever the game holds for me now, whatever this catfished arm city holds for me now. I win if only I can come back and go forward again at the same time. 7th or 11th, I win at the game of dice and the blues, snake back carrier of dreams. 7th or 11th, I win the blues. 7th or 11th, I win the blues. I want to do three other poems about St. Louis and then read some other things. I grew up on Delmar and Leonard, and these pieces work together as a group, all of these pieces, because they come together. And the first piece is called South Central Vandeventer Street Rundown, because I grew up on Leonard and Delmar, which is not the same anymore. And the next one will be called Rivertown Packing House Blues, because it's for the packing houses. The first one, I won't give any titles after that. The first one is about the smell that hangs in the air over by the packing house smell that hangs in the air. And then I'll just move right into the packing house poem, which is about a man that I know. His name is Tom, and he worked in a packing house for all those years. And I knew his sons, and so did Donnell and some other people. So I'll just move into those two poems. It's about the packing house and the smell. To leave any house was to smell the scent, burnt flesh scent hanging noxious in the air. And to leave any house was to know the odor, burnt flesh hanging like death in the air. I say, burnt flesh hanging like death in the air. And to know the order was to know where death came from. Packing house, slaughterhouse, burning flesh, blues, spreading the news about death. Burning flesh, I say, spreading the news about death. And can smell it in springtime, can smell it in summertime, can smell it 7 days a week, singeing air in autumn time, in winter time, all the time, anytime. Burnt flesh hanging as death in the air. I say, burnt flesh hanging as death in the air. Big Tom was a black nigger man, cold and black. I say Big Tom was a black nigger man, black steel flesh, standing like a gladiator soaked in animal blood, bits of flesh ringing wet, standing at the center of death, buzzards hovering, swinging his hammer called Death, 260 work days. I say swinging his hammer named Death. Big Tom was a black packing house man, 30 years. I say Big Tom was a black packing house man, loved them years, and swang his hammer like old John Henry, pounding nails. Swang that hammer 20 years, crushing skulls of cows and pigs, screaming fear. The man underneath slit their throats. 20 years, the man underneath slit their throats. Big Tom was apprenticed for 10 long years, watching death. I say Big Tom was apprenticed for 10 long years, smelling death. Was helper to a fat white man who got slow. Was helper to a fat white man who swung a hammer till he couldn't do it no more. So he taught Big Tom how to kill with a hammer. I say he taught Big Tom how to kill. And 20 years of killing is a lot to bring home. I say 20 years of killing is a lot to bring home. And drinking too much gin and whiskey can make a gentleman blow. Don't you know? I say drinking too much gin and whiskey can make a good man show enough blow. Don't you know? Big Tom beat his wife after killing all day, his 6 chilling too. I say Tom beat his wife after killing all day, his young chilling too. Beat him so awful bad, he beat him right out they shoes, screaming blues. I say he beat him so awful bad, he made a red-eyed hungry alley rat spread the news about dues these black blues people was paying. Couldn't even bite them because of the dues these black blues people was paying. Big Tom killed 6 men, maimed a couple of hundred, never served a day. I say Big Tom killed 6 men, maimed a couple of hundred, never in jail one day. The figures could have been higher, but the smart ones, they ran away. I said the number that was maimed or dead could have been higher, but the smart ones, they ran away, swallowing pride saved from the graveyard another day. The smart ones, they ran away. Big Tom working all day, 30 years, sweating heavy. Big Tom swinging his hammer, all right, 20 summers out of love. Big Tom killing for pay, 20 autumns out of need. Big Tom dealing out murders like a houseman, all night in the pain yards out of false pride. Big Tom drinking heavy, laughing loose in taverns. Big Tom loose in black communities, death fights, cancels light, and Big Tom, he keeps on stumbling, and 20 years of killing is too much to bring home to love. I say 20 years of killing is too much to bring home to love. And drinking heavy gin and whiskey can make a strong man fall in mud. I say drinking too much gin and whiskey can make a good man have bad blood. Don't you know? Can make a strong man have bad blood. Big Black Tom was a cold nigger man, strong and black. I say Big Black Tom was a cold nigger man, hard steel flesh, and stood like a gladiator, soaked in blood, bits of flesh soaking wet, stood at the center in the middle of death, sweating vultures, swinging his hammer called Death, 260 work days, 20 years, like old John Henry. I say swinging his hammer named Death. And to change up a little bit, my brother and I lived on, these are all kind of portraits, portraitures as Sterling Brown would call them, you know, those kinds of poems. We grew up on Delmore and Leonard, born on cousins, grew up on Delmore and Leonard, and we used to look out the window, my brother and I, and look at the cars. And this poem is about that and what we looked at when we were teenagers, or younger than that, maybe. Poem for my brother Timmy. Or I should say, my brother was a great drummer, and before he went into the church, he doesn't play anymore, and so that's what the references are. He was a great drummer. We walked the streets of River Rhythm Town counting cars that pass, for nothing else better to do, warm, cold days now packed away in straw. And went at home on Delmar and Leonard Streets, living over Joe's supermarket on weekends, would repeat from our window the same ritual all over again. This counting of passing cars. You took the Fords, I took the Chevrolets, but always the Cadillacs would win. And from our window on Saturday nights, we would watch the drunken fights across the street at Myers Tavern, where black people died with ridiculous ease from street surgeons' knives. Summers brought picnics and barbecues, baseball games, and hot, funky parties where we styled hard, laid off in our bad summer rags. And on warm, idle days on playground concrete courts, I would beat the hell out of you playing basketball until it got dark. In winter, we would bundle up tight in fast shrinking clothes bought 3 years before when Daddy was making money playing baseball in Batista's Cuba, or bought when Mother was working downtown being a desk clerk at Sonnenfels. And on frozen winter nights, we would fight like two vicious alley rats over who pulled the cover off of who. Afterwards, we would sleep side by side in the dark in our own spilt blood. And if someone was ever foolish enough to mess with either one of us, they had to contend with the both of us, sure enough, righteously stomping 11,000 corns on their sorry asses. But time has worn away those days as water rubs smooth in time, a rough and jagged stone. You took the blues of those days filled with sundews and blood and turned them into rhythms you played superbly on your talking drums before you heard the calling of your Lord sanctified. I took that beautiful song you gave to me and turned it into this poetry. This poem I give to you now with a brother's deep love. Okay, I want to read, I don't read about death all the time, but I'm going to switch up. Don't worry, you know, we're going to get to it, you know. But St. Louis is a place that left me with an indelible print in terms of, like, fixation, you know. Look out, there's a shotgun, you know. this is a poem I dedicate to my grandmother, who is now dead. She was 92 years old, and Donnell Reed and Richard Franklin and I, we used to bug my grandmother and mother all the time coming in, you know, off from the basketball courts, tracking stuff through the house. And this poem is because of the fact when you listen to the old people talk for a long time, they talk about death. You know, as they get older, you know, as we're going to get older, hopefully, we will talk about death because friends going to be dying and all that shit, you know. So this poem is about a cosmic sense of death. It is not about a specific death. It's about a cosmic sense of death. And it's called The Old People Speak of Death. And it's dedicated to my grandmother, Leona Smith, who is a great woman. The old people speak of death frequently now. My grandmother speaks of those now gone to spirit, now less than bone. They speak of shadows that grace their days made lovelier by wings of light. Speak of years and of corpses of years and of darkness and relationships buried deeper even than residue of bone, gone now beyond hardness, gone now beyond form. They smile now from ingrown roots of beginnings, those who have left us and climb back through the holes the old folks left in their eyes for them to enter through. I walk back now with this poem through holes the old folks left in their eyes for me to enter through. Walk back to where I see them there, the ones that have gone beyond hardness, the ones that have gone beyond form. See them there, darker than where roots begin and lighter than where they go, their spirits heavier than stone and their memories sometimes brighter than the flash of sudden lightning. But green branches will grow from these roots darker than time and blacker than even the ashes of nations. Sweet flowers will sprout and wave their love-stroked language in sun-tongued mornings, shadow the spirit in all our eyes. They have gone back, they have gone now back to shadow. As I climb back out the holes of these old folks' eyes, those spirits who sing through this poem, gone now back with their spirits to fuse with greenness, into stones and glue their invisible faces upon the transmigration of earth, nailing winds singing guitar blues voices through the rib cages of these days, gone now to where the years run run, darker than where roots begin, greener than what they bring. The old people speak of death frequently now. My grandmother speaks of those now, gone to spirit, now less than bone. Now we're getting to the part where we're going to change a little. But when I first moved to New York about 12 years ago, I turned on the radio, and this is the last thing about, we're going to move into some humor, I think, hopefully. And but this is death humor, and then move into life humor. You have to have a transition. You have to have a bridge, you know. You know, Floyd knows about bridges, you know. You got to, you know. But anyway, when I first moved to New York, I turned on the radio, and they said that the Undertakers had went on strike. That struck me as funny, you know. The Undertakers going on strike, what are they going to do with all the corpses? I said to myself, what are they going to do with them, you know? So the only thing that's true about this poem, and they're still going on strike in New York, by the way, you know. So the only thing that's true about this poem is the first line. That's the only thing that's true. The rest of it is made up. And the poem is called, After Hearing Our Radio Announcement, A Comment on Some Conditions. Yesterday in New York City, the grave diggers went on strike. And today, the undertakers went on strike. They said, because of the overwhelming amount of corpses. Unnecessarily, they said, because of wars and stupid killings in the streets and et cetera and et cetera. Sweating the world, corpses. Propped up straight in living room chairs, corpses. Behind kitchen tables, in front of stoves, in beds. Clogging up rivers, on stairwells, jamming up freeways, stopping up elevators, in the gutters, corpses everywhere you turn. And the undertaker said that they were being overworked with all this goddamn killing going on. Said that they couldn't even enjoy all the money they was making. Said that this shit has got to stop. And today I just heard that the coffin makers are waiting in the wings for their chance to do the same thing. And tomorrow, and if things keep going this way, I expect to hear of the corpses themselves boycotting death until things get better, or at least getting themselves together in some sort of union, espousing self-determination for better funeral and burial conditions, or something extraordinarily heavy like that. And in keeping with a little humor, I was trying to think about how to write this. Everybody, all poets, Robin can tell you, we all try to think about how to write these love poems, you know, that have not been written before. Of course, you know, when man was first here, when he went into the forest, he was carving things on trees. I love you, baby. And she would run over and she'd put an arrow through it and all that. And everybody had poems. If you walk in the forest, you always can tell people have been there. You know, even if it's real dense, you know, you find hearts and little poems on the trees and stuff. So you say, I'm not alone. And so you start to look around. So anyway, I tried to write this poem that was different, love poem. Called The Other Night. The other brandy sweet night, we was kissing so hard and good, you sucked my tongue right on out my trembling mouth, and I had to sew it back in order to tell you about it. Okay. This is dedicated to Floyd. This is not humorous. This is dedicated to Floyd LaFleur for his wonderful trumpet thing, because this poem is called The Day Duke Raised, and it's about Duke Ellington. And when Duke Ellington died in New York, there was a great thunderstorm. And this thunderstorm, there's a legend amongst black musicians that when it's a great thunderstorm, when a musician dies, that is the band in the sky welcoming him up. And so that day when Duke Ellington died in 1974, there was this great thunderstorm. And this poem is about that. It is about that day and about that storm. The day Duke raised, May 24th, 1974, for Edward Duke Ellington, dedicated to Florida Flora. That day began with a shower of darkness calling lightning rains home to stone language of thunderclaps shattering the high blue elegance of space and time. A broken down riderless horse with frayed wings rode a sheer bone sunbeam road down into the clouds. Spoke wheels of lightning spun around the hours. High up above those clouds, Duke wheeled his chariot of piano keys, his spirit now levitated from flesh, and hovering over the music of Most High, spoke to the silence of a griot shaman man who knew the wisdom of God. At high noon, the sun cracked through the darkness like a rifle shot, grew a beard of clouds on his livid, bald face, hung down noon sky high, pivotal time of the flood deep hours, as Duke was pivotal, being a five in the nine numbers of numerology, as his music was the crossroads, the cosmic mirror of rhythmic gree-gree. So get on up and fly away, Duke, bebop slant and fade on in strut. Dance, swing, riff, float, and stroke those tickling gree-gree keys, those satin ladies taking the A-train up to Harlem, those gree-gree keys of Birmingham breakdown, sophisticated ladies, mood indigo, get on up and strut across gree-gree, raise on up, your band's waiting. Thunderclapping music, somersaulting clouds, racing across the blue, deep wisdom of God, listen. It is time for your intro, Duke, into that other place where the all-time great band is waiting for your intro, Duke. It is time for the sacred concert, Duke. It is time to make the music of God, Duke. We are listening for your intro, Duke. Let the sacred music begin. Now we're going to change up a little bit more, and we're going to move into some poems that are kind of different and kind of language poems. And I wrote these poems when I was traveling back to St. Louis with my good friend Amos Rice, who is also from St. Louis, who is a lawyer in New York. And everybody know who Amos Rice is? Right, one for Amos, right. This section is dedicated to Amos Rice. Amos got a great crib. He got a penthouse with two terraces. So you go up there and you'd be doing this. You know, Amos, how'd you get this, boy? You know. not being funny, but he and I came back to St. Louis, and we drove back across, and I wrote this series of poems called Impressions. That's all they're about, as things that I saw on the highway. They're not about anything significant, but about things that I saw on the highway coming back. Impressions 8. American Lawrence Welk. Saturdays, football games, hot dogs and Falstaff beer, chased by fire of bourbon. McDonald's and A&P, Sears Bank of America, crackers and chicken noodle soup, Ivory Snope liquid, Miss America, kicking Kentucky Fried, Palmolive Dove commercials. Madison Avenue, cowboys, hillbilly, black, militant, Japtalians. Nig Indians, Hunger Ricans, Mestizos, Mulattoes, and Quadroons. Slick, hip, styling spirits of the greased way, high sign, step the high low road, strut, bojangle, dance and say, give me some skin of the day, soda crackers in this gumbo soup, conflicting dreams, this American gumbo soup on the road to conflicting dreams. This is another one called Impressions 12. Buck dance antlers frozen in the still air, like fingers gripping death. By the side of the crooked road, a young deer dropped down in its tracks, assumes a praying position, bullet hole in the middle of its shocked forehead. Impressions 15. Bright day in Pennsylvania, steel blue, the mountains clear. From here and out here, cold the naked sky, soft at dusk glow when the sun sinks clear down. Through winter trees, bare skin, leaves shake down, snow mounds cover the ground. Footprints like ink words on white pages print themselves into snow, stretch themselves around and into dark, awesome silence, grows into worlds, shock syllables. This is a poem called Cruising and Writing, just Cruising and Writing. I wrote this poem with this hand on the wheel and the paper and this chair on the Pennsylvania Turnpike. So it's called Just Cruising and Writing, very short. Just cruising and writing. Writing poems while cruising at 70 miles per hour on the Pennsylvania Turnpike can be spiritual fun if you don't run into anyone. This is a kind of a quasi-political poem called Rumors. Rumors. Here we go again, sorting out rumors. Who did what to who? Was the blind man collecting change for real a CIA agent in disguise? Was he really Stevie Wonder gone broke after the all industry cutbacks affected the record companies? And did so-and-so go to bed with so-and-so's wife? And have the mad Pentagon men in Washington built death rays, put them in our loved ones' orbiting moons? And is Ronald Reagan really a mummy looking for the fountain of youth? Somewhere in El Dorado, Florida, Camp David, so he can run again, play the Gipper? Perhaps something is wrong here with everything. People nailing gold coins into their eyes so Wall Street analysts can see them better, recognize their conformity, perhaps put a dead rat in their cold, empty pots, perhaps sizzle them in their Pac-Man computers. Here we go again, inventing nothing out of nothing, celebrating clones, the illusions of television, rumors dressed up like shown-up truth, like Strom Thurmond really loves niggas, and Martin Luther King is still alive and kicking, freedom right around the corner. Is a clock someplace? I don't want to go too long. Keep going. Oh, no. This is a poem called Memos and Buttons, and I wrote this while riding the Long Island train. And I got on there one day with a whole carload of executives, and they all had computer printouts. And they thought I was strange, you know. They looked at me like, wow, he's a weird guy, you know. And I was going to a poetry reading, so I wrote this poem called Memos and Buttons. And I wanted to dedicate it to the man next to me, but I didn't know his name because he said something foul and was weird, you know. So I just call him the weird one, dedicated to the weird one sitting next to me, Memos and Buttons. He couldn't even spell Albuquerque. Had tuna fish garlic breath mixed with cigarettes and a job way beyond his capacity. He was a bona fide 10 martini man for lunch. Same exact thing doing rush hours, walking around with a copper wire for a brain someone was sending Morse code to. He was a modern man of technology, read the Wall Street Journal and Forbes religiously every day, commuting on trains with spitting images of himself cloned and locked in and gigging for Xerox, Texas Instruments, IBM, hadn't read a book in God knows when, computer printouts being his Bible. Found himself thinking one day of murdering his invalid wife, widowed mother, and 3 teenage children. He was a modern man of technology. carried his mind around locked up in a leather briefcase, liked to push memos and buttons. This poem is dedicated to my good friends, and it's not finished yet, so you have to bear with. Dedicated to my good friends, Donnell Reed and Richard Franklin, because we played basketball. And this poem is called Poem for Magic Johnson, for Donnell Reed and Richard Franklin. And you have to understand that the poem ain't finished yet, okay? So don't throw tomatoes. Throw money. Okay. So this poem is about, this is the only basketball poem I've ever written. Strange. Take it to the hoop, Magic Johnson. Take the ball dazzling down the lane. Hurt and jerk and raise your 6 feet, 9-inch frame into air, sweating screams of your neon name. Magic Johnson, nicknamed Windex, way back in high school, 'cause you wiped glass backboard so clean. Where you first juked and shook and wowed your way to glory. A new style fusion of shake and bake energy, using everything possible. You created your own space to fly through. Any moment now, we know your wings will spread feathers for that spooky takeoff of yours. Then shake and glide till you hammer home a clothesline deuce off glass. Now come back down with a reverse hoodoo spin off the gin, off the spin, hoodoo gem off the spin. Now stick it in sweet, popping nets clean from 20 feet right side. Put the ball on the floor, Magic. Slide the dribble behind your back. Ease it deftly between your bony, stark legs. Head bobbing ever which way, up and down, seeing everything on the court. High off the dribble, you shoot a threading needle rope pass, sweet home to Kareem, cutting through the lane. Hiss, sky hook pops the cards. Now you lead the fast break, hitting Jamal on the fly. Now blindsiding a behind the back pinpoint for 2 points off a fake. Looking the other way, you raise off balance into tense space, sweating chance, 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 chance of your name. Turn now 360 degrees on the move, your legs scissoring space, a swimmer's yo-yoing motion in deep water. Stretching out now towards free flight, you double pump through human trees, hang in place, slip the ball into your left hand, then deal it like a Las Vegas card shuffler off glass into nets, living up to your singular nickname, so bad you cartwheel the crowd towards frenzy, wearing now your electric smile, neon as your name. In victory, we suddenly sense your glorious uplift, your urgent need to be champion. And so we cheer, rejoicing with you for this quicksilver moment of fame. So put the ball on the floor again, Magic. Juke and dazzle, shaking down the lane. Take the sucker to the hoop, Magic Johnson. Heal us, creating reverse hoodoo dribbles off the spin, banking it in off squared glass, deal alley-on magician dunkathon passes, double pump now, scissor vamping through space. Put it all in the sucker's face, Magic Johnson. Deal the round ball like the juju man that you am, like the show enough shaman man you am, Magic, like the show enough spaceman you am. Okay, I'm gonna read about five more, and then I'll be through. And and then, because they won't speak to me if I don't reply. So.